וידבר השם אל מוישה לאמור, דבר אל אהרן בהת אלה, והלישך את הנרות מול פני המנורה, יאירו שבעת הנרות. We have here Pasha dealing here with going up to the menorah, and Rashi explains what shaitas do we have here with Sunday dealing with the menorah. So Rashi says, "Lama nismachal parshas haMenorah leParshas haNesiim." What is the connection between parshas haMenorah and parshas of the Nesiim? Says Rashi, "The vika shara Aaron Chanukas haNesiim," because when Aaron saw the Chanukah, that the fact that Nesiim had such a major role in what was going on, Cholsha Oz Daitoi, he had Chalisha Tadas, he became upset. Shloihoya Imohem B'Chanukah, that he was not involved, Loihu V'loi Shiftoi, not him, not his shavers. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Chayecha Shlecho G'doy L'Mishalahem, I promise you that your chedek is greater than theirs. She'ato madlik or make the neiros. You are madlik and prepare the neiros. The question here is number one. What's pshat over here that Aaron was upset? Aaron HaKohen asks the Ramban, has plenty to do. He's got korbanos. He works lifnai v'lifnim and on Yom Kippur. What's he getting upset about? Aaron has Chalisha Sadas. Shkoyach, the Nesiim have no shaykhus to the Avodah. Aaron HaKohen is in the Beis Midrash on a daily basis. And he's working and bringing korbanos, and he's lifnai v'lifnim, and he's being makriv, and he's been doing haktor and everything else. So why has he got Chalisha Sadas? What is he so upset about? He's working in the Beis Midrash every day. These people, they never work. What's a Chalisha Sadas? Number two, why is a menorah going to be the thing that's going to make him feel better? Hashem could say to him, Aaron HaKohen, your whole avodah, your whole lifetime is dedicated to avodah Hashem. How can you even be upset? These people never have hardly anything to do with the avodah. You've got the avodah of the lifnai v'lifnim. Hashem says, no, the avodah of the menorah is going to be your repair. Why? Why death for the menorah? So on that, the Ramban says that the menorah over here does not mean the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan. It means the menorah in a time of the Chashmonaim. That the Chashmonaim, the time that you're going to have great grandchildren who are going to be restoring the menorah to its original beauty. That's the Ramban. Ramban said that was the Chayecho. That was the promise that Shulcho Gdolim Mishalahem, that the fact that in the future you're going to have the Chashmonaim fighting for Klal Yisrael and restoring back the Beis Midrash to where it was, that's the Shulcho Gdolim Mishalahem.
Wow, so how does that answer the question? Why is that a better promise? What's better about
that? That's better because that was a historical fact that completely changed the whole face of Judaism on that particular stage. I mean, without that, Klal Yisrael would have been finished. And the fact that he had grandchildren who still had inspiration to continue and to dedicate himself and be Meisei Nefesh to restore the Beis Midrash to what it was, that's the Shulcho Gdolim Mishalahem. So says the Ramban. In Pashtus of the Pasuk doesn't mean that, because the Pashtus of the Pasuk is talking about the menorah right now. Says the next Pasuk, Vayas Kain Aaron, and Aaron did so, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, in front of the menorah, Hel on Neiros Seho, he brought up the Neiros, Kasha Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. Said Rashi, why does it have a whole Pasuk to tell me that Aaron did as he was told? Says Rashi, Lahagid Shivokhoi Shal Aaron Shalei Shino. We have a whole pasuk to tell me that Aaron didn't change. He did exactly as he was told. Shkoyach. Rashi in Pasuk Gimel. Lahagid Shivokhoi Shal Aaron Shalei Shino. To show me that Aaron did exactly as he was told. Another question. Need a whole pasuk to tell me that Aaron was told by the Ribbono Shel Olam to do something, he didn't do something else. The boy shouldn't told him to light the menorah in this way. He didn't do anything else. We're talking about here a person who has no connection to the Bnei Shalom Chas V'Shalom. Talking about here, Aaron HaKohen. He has command from the Bnei Shalom. Of course he did as he was told. L'hagish Shuvachay Shul Aaron. Have a whole posture to tell me how wonderful Aaron is that he did as he was told. What shvach is that? It'd be the biggest g'nai if he didn't. And in fact, it's probably should be taken as an insult. If I ask you to do me a favor, And say, by the way, you know, I ask if you, David, can take my Gemara back to the Sanhedrin. You know what? I tell everybody for Doris. You know what? I ask him to do me a favor, and he actually did as he was told. Well, if you put a person to trial or criminal, then it's shvach. If you say that Aaron Cohen is probably a gnai that he's talking about, he did as he was told. Number two. Number three, the next pasuk says, "V'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah." This is the ma'aseh of the menorah. This is the creation of the menorah. Mikshazav, it's one piece of gold. Ad yirecha, ad pirchal mikshahi. The yirecha, the whole yerech, the whole, the way it's stem. Ad pirchal, until it's prochim. Mikshahi, it's one big piece. Kamara Ashehera Hashem es Moshe kin oses menorah. The way Hashem showed Moshe, that is where the menorah looked. Let me ask you, is this the first time you come into contact with the menorah?
No, by the Parshas Truma,
we have the menorah. And Hashem tells us exactly how to make the menorah, exactly the measurements and how many kaftoyim, how many parochim, everything else. All the details of menorah is said over there. Here we have a pasuk to tell me the same thing again. Why? The whole extra pasuk, what's it for? And not only that, the way Hashem showed Moshe, came also to menorah. What's going on here? So those three questions. Question number one is, why is Aaron getting so upset? Question number two is, why did the whole pasuk tell me? Man closing the door. Question number two is, why do you have a pasuk to tell me that Aaron did as he was told, obviously? And the question number three is, why do we have to have now all the details of the way the menorah looked?
Because you already saw it in the Parshas.
You've already seen it in Parshas Truma.
What did you bring the Chashmonaim for?
Chashmonaim was just a teretz why Shulachot Gedolim and Shulahem, according to the Ramban, why the menorah was more special. But the question was.
But it was still within the question of why the. But that seems like you already answered the question, why the menorah.
According to the Ramban.
You're just throwing in an answer then.
Okay, yeah. Fine. So I saw from all the Bala Musa, I'm putting all together what they've been saying, and it's three separate parts, but I want to make it one big teretz to all answer everything. There is this aspect of Yiddishkeit that people can do Yiddishkeit because they're commanded to do Yiddishkeit. There's a chiyuv, there's a certain chiyuv in Yiddishkeit. There's a certain obligation as a Jew that one has to follow through. I have to do it because I have to do it. Not because I feel I want to do it, and not because I feel I have a pleasure out of doing it. I want to do Hashem a favor. Yeah, plenty of people pay their dues. You know, I fast in Yom Kippur, and I beat myself up, and I'm depressed. And that way, by doing that's, you know, I've paid my dues. I've lit service, I've made myself miserable in shul the whole day, and that way that will be a kapara for me, and Hashem is happy now. As long as it made me miserable, Hashem is happy, all my sins go away. That Rabbeisai is totally against Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is, we can't do anything for the Rebbein Shloimeh. The Rebbein Shloimeh doesn't need any of our mitzvahs. Every mitzvah that we do is a schus. Every mitzvah that we do is a connection. Every mitzvah that we do is nitzvah, is olam hazeh, is olam haba, that will carry on a netzach nitzachon forever and ever. That's a mitzvah. A person who loves mitzvahs is not satisfied with doing mitzvahs that he's commanded to do. A person has to love mitzvahs. A person has to enjoy mitzvahs. A person has to feel that if it's possible for him to get another mitzvah and he doesn't get it, he's deprived. Even if he's not commanded, he wants to do a mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon, just before he was nifter, he looked at his sisters and started to cry. And he said, "For poor Kopikus, for a small amount of money, I could buy mitzvahs in the Olam Hazeh, and the Olam Haba I can't. Because the Olam Haba, anything I've done in this world counts, not anything I do in the next world. But poor Kopikus can achieve in the Olam Hazeh. I could buy myself a part of the Olam Hazeh." What's he crying about? Was he miserable? Was he scared about what's going to be in Olam Haba? We've all gone. The answer is, he was crying because he felt that he would be deprived of doing more mitzvahs. Aaron HaKoyim was not satisfied with doing Avodah L'Tanai V'Lifnei. He was not satisfied with doing Hakrava. He always seeks to do more and more and more, have another connection, another bind, another chelik of nitzchias in Olam Haba. That's what he wanted. It wasn't enough for him to pay his dues and do what he's commanded. He wanted to make sure he had every credit he could possibly make, have connections with Bayesha, and that's what he wanted. Aaron HaKohen saw Nassim doing something that he felt maybe I should have a chedek in it as well. And he got upset. He wanted to have a chedek that they had. I want that mitzvah as well. The Rebbe Yishlein gave him the mitzvah of Menorah. The mitzvah of Menorah was a test for Aaron HaKohen. Why is it a test? The Menorah did not have to be lit by the Kohen Gadol. It could have been lit by his sons as well. Aaron HaKohen did not have to light the Menorah. His sons could have lit it. Aaron HaKohen jumped at this opportunity and he said, I don't know what the Nasiim are doing. The Nasiim brought their matanos in big agolos, in big wagons, and you can imagine that the whole shevet was behind them and celebrating and dancing and singing, and that was matanos of the Nasiim. Each day was a whole yom tov. Where did Aaron HaKohen do his mitzvah menorah? Where was it done?
In the
Beis HaMikdash, in Mishkan. Nobody saw him. He didn't even see the light from outside. Nobody saw him. Says the pasuk, Aaron HaKohen was given a mitzvah menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was testing him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing him that if you really want mitzvahs, are you doing the mitzvahs for the sake of receiving a big chelek, or because you love doing mitzvahs? Who's going to do it? Who's going to be lighting the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan? Aaron HaKohen did it with his full heart. The Yas King Aaron HaKohen did it. That he did it with his full heart, with a full mitzvah, he did it with a full excitement. That a mitzvah is a mitzvah, whatever happens. Whether it's a mitzvah everybody sees or mitzvah nobody sees. A mitzvah is a mitzvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah of menorah to show him. And to show the Klal Yisrael that Aaron HaKohen, the chavivus he had to the Nasiim, was not because of personal kavod; it's because he enjoys doing mitzvahs. And Aaron HaKohen did that mitzvah with his full heart and his full concentration. With Yas Kain Aaron, why that for the menorah? Why not that another malacha inside the Mishkan? Says a pasuk, why that for the menorah? Because then Maisa menorah mikshel zol ad yirecha ad pirchol mikshel. He tell me what's more important? What's an important part of the menorah? What's more important, the Yerecha or the Pirecha? What's more important?
The middle stem is called the menorah.
The middle stem is Yerecha. The Yerecha is the middle stem. Then he had the chashkas, the flowers and the kaftor. What's more important, the Yerecha or the Pirecha?
Yerecha.
Yerecha is more important. Ask anybody, there's plenty of menorahs in the world. They have Yerecha, don't have Pirecha. Says the Rebbe Shleila, I'm giving you a lesson within a menorah, and Aaron understood this lesson. Dafka menorah, the zemaisa hamenorah mikshel zov ad yirecha ad pirecha mikshehi. Whether it was the yireach, whether it was the stem of the menorah, or it was a pirecha, it was a parochim, it was a flowers mikshel achas. It was one piece of gold. There was no difference between the yerech or the flowers. They were all made of one solid piece of gold. I didn't make the yerech out of one piece and the gold out of and the parochim out of something else. One cannot split up between mitzvahs. It's one solid piece of mitzvah.
Yeah.
That's what the menorah was. The menorah was the definition, is the idea that the mitzvahs cannot be chosen. Every part of the mitzvah, every mitzvah has a chelik, is mikshah achas, is one part of one big Torah. And that was what Aaron HaKohen was doing. Aaron HaKohen is saying, I want another mitzvah. So what's a small mitzvah? A mitzvah is a mitzvah. The Nasiim. So what I have if I have name, and I'm going to the base of Mikdash, and I'm maktik Torah. But a mitzvah is a mitzvah. I want another mitzvah. Every mitzvah is precious. And if those such things, a big mitzvah and a small mitzvah. Mikshah achas is one big menorah. Zem maisa menorah. Mikshah achas. He raised that purple mikshah. Made out of one solid piece of gold. One can't say that there's one mitzvah more important than the other. Eretz Yisrael, big mitzvah. It's not more important than Shemir Shabbos. It's not more important than Sneis. It's not more important than Shemitah. One can't say that there's a mitzvah they have to work on Eretz Yisrael more than anything else. And therefore, if the government want to move things on Shabbos, we don't leave the government. But if we want to give back a chedek in Eretz Yisrael, oh, we leave the government. That is not understanding Mitzvah Achas. That is not Mikshah Achas. Mikshah Achas is Yerecha and Pirecha, two separate things. And that's how all three questions are answered. Why is Aaron HaKohen upset? He wanted another mitzvah. It's not an intellectual thing, it's an emotional thing. He wants another mitzvah. Why does Hashem give what Melamed Shleishinov? Like when Baruch Hu gave him a test with the menorah, the menorah is inside, and he could have given it to his sons to do, but he wanted to do it. It was not a common thing, it's because Aaron Cohen loved mitzvahs, and the white duck in the menorah, because menorah is mixture atmos. It's one big mixture, it's one big gush, it's one big piece of mitzvah. The Torah is one big piece. You can't choose mitzvahs. Every mitzvah is important. What, that stuff with the menorah. And that's Peshat in the Shezach of Etzchaim. K'mare asher hera Hashem es Moshe. The mare that Kodesh Baruch Hu shem Moshe nahar Sinai, the Torah, kein osa es a menorah. That's how the menorah is made. The menorah is made by showing there's one big Torah, like Hashem Shem Moshe, the Torah in Sinai. That's what the menorah represented. Menorah represented that the Yerecha and Pircha have the same chashivus. They can't choose. It's made out of one solid piece. The Chasam Sofer says a very nice vote over here. He says, "Zem Maisa HaMenorah." What does a menorah? What does a menorah represent? Each kli in a Mishkan represented something else. One represented Torah, one represented Malchus. What did menorah represent? What did menorah represent? What did it represent?
Oh.
Torah. Menorah of Torah. Kiner mitzvah of Torah or. Kiner mitzvah of Torah or. Menorah of Torah. Menorah of Torah. It says a very nice thing. V'zeh maisa hamenorah. This is the maisa. This is what you need to get this chus of Torah. V'zeh maisa hamenorah. This is the chus you need for the menorah. To receive Torah. Mikshazov. What's mikshah? Take away the mem. Kasher. Mikshazov means a person's going to be ready to have mikshazov. To have difficulties in Zav, in making money. I mean, a person who's in Torah, a person has to be ready to have mixture Zav, to not to have the luxury. Mixture Zav, to have a difficulty to make Zav, to make money. Ad Yerecha ad Pircha. Yerecha is the basics, the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, the basics of Gemara. That's Yerecha. Pircha is the drush and the pulpulim. It's all mixture-y. It's all difficult. It's all difficult, which means a person has to realize that Klal Yisrael has been given a Torah, and it's difficult. The Torah is difficult to be mekayim. It's miksha achas. It's one big difficulty. But kamara hasher her Hashem es Moshe. If a person understands that, he'll get to the mara hasher her Hashem es Moshe. The schus and the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu received at Sinai came also to know. That's how the Torah was made. That is how a person receives Torah. There were three things.
Did you answer all three questions?
I answered all three questions. There are three things that made up Miksha Achas. One was a menorah. The other thing was chatzoitzros, the trumpets. It also had to be made a miksha achas. And the third thing had to be made a miksha achas was the kerubim. What's a kerubim? I said this last year, but it's important. It's an unbelievable thought. What is the benefit of miksha achas? What's the benefit of having something miksha achas? What's the advantage? What's the disadvantage? What's the advantage of miksha achas?
Advantage.
What's the advantage of Miksha Achas?
Well, in the usage? Strong.
If you have something die-cast, you know what die-cast is? Die-cast metal. Die-cast metal, which means it's one single piece of metal that's been put in the cast, and it's solid. It's made out of one piece. If you have metal that has to be soldered or welded together, it will have a weakness in it. Yeah? You have one solid piece of metal that has a strength. What's the disadvantage?
Extremely hard to make.
It's very, very hard to make. You can take a menorah and make it.
Norse couldn't do it.
It's very difficult. A chatzoitzros. A chatzoitzros, take one piece of gold and you stop drilling out, it's very much harder. You just take a piece, you roll it out, and you weld it, and you make a chatzoitzros. So therefore, we have advantage that it's much stronger, and disadvantage it's very difficult to make. There are three things that had to be made out of one solid piece. The menorah, the kruvin, and the chatzitrus. Why? Menorah represents Torah. Menorah represents Torah. Torah, if you want to learn Torah, you have to make sure it's difficult. You have to make sure that it's mikshah achas. Torah is taught that it has to be meant, you have to go out to learn chavat Torah kula. No, you know what? I'm going to learn a little bit now. And a few years time, I'll go back to yeshiva, learn a little bit more. You know, that's different pieces. You got to go to Torah and looking at Torah as one big thing you have to conquer. It has to be miksha achas.
What do you mean, the time? What do you mean, one thing?
Which means I have to go through my life, not saying I'll be satisfied now with Or Chaim. You know, in a few years time, if I have time, I'll start doing here or there. Torah has to be, one has to call it Torah kula. One has to look at Torah as one big whole that one slowly works on. Bit by bit. But it's one big whole. It's one huge entity that one has to conquer. It's miksha achas. It's not fragmented pieces. We're just all put together here. You know, I learn here and I don't learn for another few months and I learn a little bit of this. Torah has to be a continuation of work on one big miksha achas. And that's when it has spread. That's when it has something you can't knock the person down. But if a person goes to yeshiva and then he goes out of yeshiva and then he learns, he has a chavrusa once a week and he leaves it 2 weeks and he has another chavrusa. That's not miksha achas. That's bits of Torah here, this Torah there. A person doesn't become a ben Torah.
What is the third one?
But it's difficult. It's difficult. And the chatzetrus. What's chatzetrus? What are chatzetrus? Manhigus. Manhigus is leading. Leadership. Manhigus has, you have to make sure that manhigus does not have any cracks in it. A leader may not have any cracks. Because if he has any cracks, everybody's going to find out what the crack is and completely demolish him. Chatzotus has to be one piece as well. Chatzotus is bringing the Kaddish all together. A goggle, a leader, has to make sure he has no cracks, has no hang-ups. Has to be a solid piece that if the whole Kaddish will stand up against him, he still leads. That's what he holds. I feel that's important. Reb Shach said often, Reb Shach said that I'm saying what I'm saying and I don't care if the whole Kaddish will go against me. As long as I have 10 people that will come to my levaya, I don't mind. But that is what I hold. That's what I hold. And I know what I'm saying is unpopular. But I'm a manik and I have to do what I have to do. That is a manik. That is chatzitzrus. A person who can stand up without any cracks at all. If you were at a Rashach levaya, you saw, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands of people came. But that's a manhi. A manhi is not somebody who looks over his shoulder to see what the scavim, what the what's it called? The ratings, you know, what ratings he's getting. That's not a leader. Got to be solid. What's kruvin? Kruvin is chinuch. Children. With chinuch of children, one's got to be rock solid. You've got to be firm. If a child sees a slight failure in how strong you are and your commitment to what's going on, you're finished. If he sees a failure in your shabbos, if he sees a failure, if he sees the way you're dealing with your wife, if he sees the way you're davening, the child will see a failing in you and you cannot be mechanachim. The parent is going to be rock solid and his chinuch is going to be absolute. You got to be absolute. You got to make sure that there's no hypocrisy. You got to make sure that parents are united in their front towards chinuch. There's no wishy-washiness. If you hold something, carry out to the end. And you should know. Again, if it's against halacha, this is not correct. But sometimes parents aren't right. Sometimes parents make a mistake. But sometimes the parents, unless it's against halacha, you should carry on with what you're doing.
You're going to be making.
You make a mistake. Yeah, you know, you make a threat to your child, right? If you don't go to sleep now, you're not getting out to the chasna. And you really only think, you know what? I should take him to the chasna. He doesn't come to the chasna. Wherever it is, I'm just giving a silly example. But that's important. A parent has to be rock solid. When you say something, that is it. That's it. Because if you don't, the child will take it for a ride. Those three things have got to be solid. It's got to be the child. It's got to be one solid piece. No welding over there that you just sort of put it together and it sort of clicks and it's stuck together. Because if that's the case, the whole thing's going to disintegrate.
Two things. That seems to imply that parents are supposed to be perfect, yeah? And the minute they slip up once, that's it, they're doomed to parenthood. Like, you have to be 100% shalem. If you're over on that, a tiny bit of shalem, and that's it for your parenthood. Like, but we're not perfect, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to, make mistakes.
You've got to be firm. That's what I mean. And I don't mean a parent's got to be perfect. A parent's got to be firm. A parent, when he says something, that's it. And there's no back dad. That's it. I said what I have to say. If you want to argue, you can argue, but I don't change my position because of that. And he got to do the best he can. A parent can't say, "Oh, you're not allowed to open bottle caps." And they say, "Yeah, maybe you can't open bottle caps." You got to know what you're saying. If you don't know about bottle caps, say, "I don't know about bottle caps. I don't know about this." No, no. But a parent can't do one thing one week and do something else another week. You know, a parent's got to be consistent. You can't be, you know, stuck together with a bit of sellotape and that's who you are. You've got to make sure you're Shalom if you can. Children only grow if they have security in who the parents are. Yeah. And the parents have got to be firm.
Also, isn't there a value in saying to a child, "Listen, I made a mistake, and I'm teaching that when a person makes a mistake, he has to realise within himself he's made a mistake and own up to the fact that he's made a mistake."
That's very rarely. Very rarely. If a parent does it too often, you're losing complete control of the child. If every child, you know, "I said something to you yesterday, I shouldn't really have said that," the next day you say the same thing again and again and again, the child thinks the parents are never. Yeah? Yeah, it's a modern thing. You know, a parent sort of opens up his way up to his child today. You know, Dr. Spock theory, open yourself up to the child and explain to the child. And it's this generation, that's why this generation is so much better than generations beforehand. Yeah, there's no cane, and there's no hitting, and nothing else. And the children today, they bring a knife to school.
Yeah, knife.
You said
there was a cane.
Yeah. Also, if a teacher throws a piece of chalk at the child, he's the teacher. Maybe if you throw the child out of school, no. That's why education is even less strong looking like that, because they're taken from the guy and everything, lock, stock, and barrel.
Knife to get wet.
Very healthy.
Also, with the Torah, you know, how can you learn everything all at once? I have to learn, make sure that my moral skills are okay, skills, and then later on,
It does not mean when I'm learning Baba Mitzvah, I've got to be learning Chulin. And when I'm learning Gemara, I must be learning Chumash. It means they've got to look at Torah as one big entity. It means you've got to look at Torah as, "I'm starting now and I'm going to continue on it." The Chatzos, they didn't do the whole Chatzos at once, but they started with one piece of gold and they worked on that piece of gold. You know, they didn't completely disconnect it. You know, "I'm learning a bit here, and a few years time I learn a bit there, and I come." There's got to be one piece of Torah that I'm working towards, and I'm working on it constantly, and there's one piece of Torah which is a constant process of learning. The pasuk carries on later on. This is an unbelievable imudin. How you can learn every word of a pasuk. It's just the more you learn from this pasuk. Again, I'm going to say a few pshatim in here, but it's open to your interpretation. It's unbelievable. We have here the end of the parasha. We have here Moshe Rabbeinu, Rachman al Islam. He spoke in Lashon Hara about by Aaron, by Miriam to Aaron. But if you look at Perikud Beis,
separating from
his wife.
Perikud Beis.
Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. V'ha'ish Moshe onav ma'oid mekol ha'adam. And Moshe was an onav ma'oid mekol ha'adam. He was an onav ma'oid. Ma'oid is brought down by the Vilna Gaon, is lemala nasoga seidna, something we can't even fathom. We call it odd more than anybody else. Asher al pnei hadama, that was on the ground.
So you based which pasuk?
Pasuk Gimel. So on this particular pasuk, there's a few questions. Number one, what is meant by the word v'ha ish Moshe? V'ha ish Moshe, what was Moshe and Isha? Why say V'ha Ish Moshe and the man Moshe? Obviously.
He was the man.
V'ha Ish Moshe and the man Moshe. Just say Moshe, you know who Moshe is. V'ha Ish Moshe, number one. Number two, why does the pasuk say V'ha Ish Moshe on a ma'oid nekol ha'odom?
Either
say kol ha'ish, we're talking about odom. What's V'ha Ish Moshe on a ma'oid nekol ha'odom? Why does the pasuk change from Ish to odom? What does it mean when it says "Mikol ha'odom asher pnei ha'adam"? Were people flying around in space? Moshe Rabbeinu was more than honored than any man. that was on this ground, and not people who were on the Voyager 3. What's up in Adam? Yeah? Number 4. The Sifri says, Va'ish Moshe Anav Ma'oid Mekala Adam Asher Pnei Ha'adama, but not greater than the Malachim. Anava was greater than people, but not greater than the Malachim. Which means this pasuk is a pasuk talking of such love from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Such amazing compliments from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Sifri says, yeah, but not greater than the Malachim. What are we trying to say? So to understand this, one has to understand a greater question. How was Moshe Rabbeinu an honor? How was it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was an honor of Mikol Adam? How was it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble man that ever was? How is that possible? Tell me, did Moshe Rabbeinu know he was the greatest person?
Yeah, sure.
What happens if you thought, you know, I'm not really such a great person?
So then Hashem has
got self-esteem problem.
No, more than that. He's an apokiris. Why? Because the Pasuk says later on, the Pasuk says, Pasuk Zion, Loichein Avdi Moshe B'chol Beisi Ne'eman Hu Pe'el Pe'a Dababoy. And the Rambam says, the Rambam holds one of Yudgim Alimamins, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi that ever was and ever will be. And therefore, and a person does not even know the Yudgim Alimamins, he's an apokiris. And therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what, I'm not really the greatest person ever was and ever will be, he's an apokiris. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu must have known he's the greatest person ever was and ever will be. Otherwise, he's an apokiris. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to be an apokiris. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was the honor of Mikol Adam, although he knew he's the greatest person that ever was and ever will be. What a chance.
But he said many times to Hashem, send somebody else, I'm not the person in the job, I have a stutter. Like he said many times.
That's before he was chosen. After Rabbeinu Shleilam gave him his power, Moshe Rabbeinu never went back on this. Because he knew he's the greatest Navi. Once he got the Navius, he's the greatest ever was and ever will be. If he doesn't know that, he's not the greatest. Chas v'shalom. We have a Gemara. Now we love the Gemara. I couldn't find it when I was looking for
it. Who said this thing is not greater than the Malachi? Who was that?
The Sifri, the Medrash. The Gemara says that what one of the Tanoi was Nifta, bottle Anova. Anova was bottle. Came along Hillel and he said, what do you mean bottle Anova? I'm here. What do you mean there's no more Anova? I'm here and I'm Anova. What's the shout? Obviously, we have to redefine what Anova means. With the Sifri we can understand this. Moshe Rabbeinu understood something. He understood that there's nobody in the world who has greater power than he has. There's nobody in the world who has greater power than he has. Why? What did he say? Moshe Rabbeinu said, look around. How many people have been to Shemayim and spoken to Rabbeinu Shloim? How many people in this world have done that? Subtotal? No one. I'm the only person. Which means the Rabbeinu Shalom has given me powers nobody else has. Because the Rabbeinu Shalom has given me these powers, how much is expected from me? Much, much more than anybody else. And if so much is expected from me, am I fulfilling my potential? That is an honor. An honor is not somebody who thinks I'm nothing. An honor is somebody who realizes what powers he has. He realizes it's all given to him by the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he is humble by the fact that Hashem has given him so much, and he's worried he has not fulfilled his potential. V'ha'ish Moshe, Rabbeinu, look at the Peshat in the Pasuk now. V'ha'ish Moshe Olav Me'oit. Moshe was a big olav. Why? Because ha'adam asher pnei ha'adamo. Because he's greater than any man that's on this earth. Because everybody else was managed to walk on this earth, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and therefore that's how he became a greater honor than anybody else. Because he was al pnei ha'adamo. Everybody else was al pnei ha'adamo, and he was in Shemayim. He became an honor when he realized how much greater the opportunities he had was more than anybody else. The Malachim, though, didn't have that. Not also in Shemayim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was an Avot Nikol Adam al Pnei Ha'adama, because he was the only one who went to Shemayim. Since Malachim were in Shemayim, they obviously felt they had a greater obligation because than a regular person, because they're also in Shemayim. The answer to the questions. Why is he Kol Adam al Pnei Ha'adama? Because he became an Avot of realizing everyone else is on Ha'adama. I went to Shemayim. How much is expected from me? And that's also explained why he says the Sifri said another Malachim, because the Sifri is explaining to us how he became an honor. Another does not mean I am nothing. Another means I have tremendous powers which Bnei Hashem gave me, and I recognize my powers. But these powers are given to me as a loan, and I've got to work with them. And I give you a marshal. A person, let's say a person, Nebuchadnezzar, he's got no money, b'chlal, he's mamish, he's a pauper, he doesn't even have clothes. And he goes to his friend, and he comes stark naked to his friend and says to him, listen, I haven't got any money. Do me a favor, lend me some clothes. So the friend goes to his cupboard and lends him some clothes. Will the only feel about Gaiva now, with the clothes he's wearing? Nebuch, he's got nothing. That's exactly the same. Even if a person's wearing expensive clothes, it's all borrowed. It's all borrowed. It's all given from the Rebbeinu. A person's got a nice voice. A person should be about Gaiva, but a person's got a nice voice too. Rabbi Yisrael, where is Superman today? Remember Superman? The film said, where is he today? He can't even make himself a cup of coffee. Is that coincidence? What's the Bnei Hashem showing? We're nothing. We've got no kliyos b'chlal. Everything given to us. Our intellect, our family, our friends, everything is from the Bnei Hashem. And therefore, a person will appreciate it. Chas v'sholem, you only start appreciating things when it goes away.
So that story for us about that guy who's under oath, he's basically queen.
Yeah, exactly. Dan Abramsky. Yeah, Dan Abramsky was asked in court. Are you a knowledgeable halakhic authority about a particular shayla in the English court? I think that's an old baby. So he said, I'm the most knowledgeable halakhic opinion in Europe. So the judge said, I see your mother's suit. He said, sir, I'm under oath. How can't be modest now? I'm the most knowledgeable halakhic opinion. I've got to go along with this. Anova does not mean I'm nothing. Anova means I'm great. Now, basically, Anova means as well something else. An Onov does not mean a person who wants to be an Onov to make himself a nothing. Very often, a person wants to be an Onov because he's such a bad guy, he wants to be an Onov. Not only does he want people to say about him, this guy is so smart and he's such a masmid, he wants, even more, he wants to be a bad guy that people say he's modest too. Yeah? Not only is he such a massive, he's modest too. He's such a bad guy, he wants people to say that about him too. Anova means V'ho Ish Moshe. Ish Moshe means he's an MS person. V'ho Ish Moshe Onov Mo'ev. He's an Ish Moshe. He's an Ish. Ish is the highest form of human being, Onov Mo'ev. His Onov is because he's a real person. He wants to be an Onov because that's what Hashem wanted from him. Not because he wants people to talk about him. There's one God on his deathbed. And the Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, what are you thinking? The last moments of your life, what are you thinking? He said, you know what I'm thinking? I'll tell you what. I'm going to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, with such kavana, that people are going to say, he's such a tzaddik, he died with such kavana. Last few moments of his life.
Right. A Godel said that.
He's working on Gaiva the last few moments of his life. Gaiva is something, Rabbi Yisai, it eats you up. It might literally consume you.
But he ended up with a declaration that he wants people to remember him as being an honor. That's even bigger Gaiva.
No. He's saying, I'm working on that I should say Shema Yisrael with Kavana. Not that I should be thinking that, people should say, look what a Kavana is. He's being earnest with his Gaiva. He's being honest with this guy,
yeah,
he's going to be working on it, and he'll work on it. It's a very, very deep story. Think about it.
I don't understand the story.
They ask him, "What are you thinking?"
Yeah, he said, "I'm going to say Shema."
He's saying, "I'm thinking. I'm going to say Shema now." Atash Kavan, and people say, "Ah, what a tzaddik." That's a person who is in tune with his gaiva and is working on it. Some people are not even aware that they have gaiva. Gaiva is the source and the rot of a person, of mamash of a person's every bad characteristic starts in gaiva. So Ochus Chaim LaRosh, Hisrachek Min HaGaiva, B'tachlis HaRichuk, distance yourself from gaiva from the most distant part possible. And you get gedolim. He has gedolim. You have no idea that another they have. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Rekiva Eger. That another Rekiva Eger had. He wrote once to Prosh to Rav. He wrote, "Chvoid harav agon agodla had tzadik agodla do." So he said back to me, making fun of me. He said, "What are you talking about? They write the same things to me. I'm making fun." He had him and the Chasam Sofer. Him and the Chasam Sofer, his son-in-law, were going into town. And the people heard, the whole town came out. The whole town came out to meet him. And they unhitched the horses. And they started schlepping the coach by themselves. The Chasam Sofer jumped out to pull the coach of Rekiva Eger's in. And Rekiva Eger jumped out to pull the coach of Chasam Sofer's in. They both jumped out. There's nobody inside the coach. They're both pulling it. That Anov was unbelievable. From Moshe Feinstein. He had somebody who was calling, "Hey, Moshe! Moshe! Hey, Moshe!" He turns around. "Who's calling me? Somebody calling me? Who's? I'm here. Who's Moshe Feinstein?" Yet. That's what another put himself. Yet when it came to Ruchnius, when it came to Ruchnius, they were like lions. They stood up against the whole world. The Ha'ish Moshe. When it happens, a person has to know they're an Onuf. But an Onuf does not mean their feeble personality. "Oh, who am I? I'm a regular person. What am I?" For the Ish Moshe. When Moshe had to, he stood up as an Ish. He was an Ish Moshe, Onuf Moed. He was a Geber. He was a man. He stood up against the whole world. He stood up against Klal Yisrael. But Ish Moshe, he said, "You're misnaming him. What are you complaining about? Who are Ish Moshe?" The Gedolim, Ramosha Feinstein, who is such an honor, but he wrote Chulas and Kamat every Achron of Chaylik on him. But that's what he held. That's because Ish Moshe, Ramosha Feinstein is Mamasha of Ish Moshe. He was an Ish Moshe, honored Moshe, because he was an Ish Moshe. When he came to it, he stood up against all the other halach because he felt that's important. For an Ish Moshe, the Moshe was an Ish, honored Moshe. He dug on honor over people when it came to Gashmis, when it came to Adomo, when it came to Dvar and Gashmin, when it came to Dvar and Ruchnin. He was a lion, Rekiva Eger. How many times did Rekiva Eger stand up against people in Basin and in Mamash? It's the same story I told you before. They suddenly came to Rekiva Eger, refused to give a get. Rekiva Eger said, "I want to learn the Mishnah and Kedushim with you." The Isha Niknes, Mishosha Drachim, the Kona Av Mishdei Drachim. Get or Misa Sabal. Take your pick. Either give a get or you have a choice. The fellow said, he laughed at Rekiva Eger and said, "Eh," and he walked out. As he walked out, he fell down the stairs and broke his neck and died. That's Rekiva Eger. "Oh, you know, maybe it'd be very nice of you to..." This is Rekiva Eger, Ish Moshe. You've got to be together, you've got to be tough. Another is sometimes people are biggest baligaiva. When a person's insulted, you know, they kept being baligaiva. But when they have to do something for Klal Yisrael, "Who am I? I'm just a regular person. You want me to do this? You want me to become this shliach? You want me to do this mitzvah? Who am I? What can I do? I've got no clue." Garbage. When it came to things to do this world with Gashmias and about my own personal thing, I'm garnished. When it came to Ruchnius, my Ish Moshe, he was a Geber. He stood up and fought the whole world. That's enough. And there's so much more to learn here.
What did you say about physicality?
When it came to myself or Gashmi. Physical, well, okay, I'm honest.
But he had a lot of Gashmias.
But he wasn't a bar gaiva. He's an honored ma'od.
Right, but he was well.
He's very small when he came. But he wasn't didn't interest him. Right. He came to something else, that's what he fought against. Why is it so important to be an honored? Now let's finish off with this, there's a lot more to say. Why is it so important to be an honored? Chofetz Chaim on the Torah says, that everything in this world, you do a mitzvah, you can't be repaid for in this world. There's no currency to repay you in this world. You do a mitzvah, which is a dovah ruchni, you can't be paid back dvarim gashmi. It's a different currency. You can't be paid back. There's only one thing that you can be paid back, which is a dvar ruchni, and that is kovod. If a person does something, he gets kovod for it, he's eating up his chusin or ilam haba, because that is getting back his dvar ruchni. The Chofetz Chaim was once going through a city. And he got a message, please let me know when please let the town folk know when you're coming into town, because I want to be mechabed you. He said, Chas v'shom, I don't want it. So friend said, why not? Want to be mechabed you? He said, tell me, if your wife makes a kugel on Erev Shabbos, would she let you eat half a kugel on Erev Shabbos? She makes a kugel on Erev Shabbos, would she let you eat half a kugel on Erev Shabbos? Of course not, you need it for Shabbos. If I ask a kugel yet, vos belich es in Olam Haba. If I start eating my kugel now, what will I have left for me in Olam Haba? If I start having kugel now, what's going to be left for me? Run away from kugel, Rabbi Yisrael. And just now it means nothing. Kugel when one's young, one means nothing. You see people who kugel is everything. They make such big gains to get a bit of kugel. Make until such big gains to get a bit of kugel. I'm not going into it. There's different ideas what bizarre people, what fools people make of themselves when their kovod has been, you know, chas v'shalom in any way that they've been affected. Their kovod's been affected. But re'ach min hakovod, you've got to run away from kovod. Chaz Nish, the Gemara says, it brought down a different place of Chazal. First is re'ach min hakovod, kovod runs after him. So when he went to the Chaz Nish and said, listen, I've been running away from kovod all my life, and kovod's not running after me. He said, yes, but you keep on looking back, if the kovod's following you. Bereach from the kovod means absolute bereach from the kovod. Run away from kovod, and then Rabbi Yisraelim will give us chus to be. We'll get the ultimate kovod of in Ez Hashem Oidem Haba, and to be zeicher Ez Hashem to nice and manoyer to appreciate mitzvahs and get the ultimate kovod of zeicher in the right time.